Romans chapter 12, verse 1. If you got it in the NIV, you can read it with me. Therefore, all right, I know you weren't expecting that. Okay, are you ready? Here we go. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Lord, I come to you this morning. Lord, and we put a focus on your word. And Lord, we would be transformed by your word this morning. We would be renewed in our mind. Our lives would take on a new shape as we are indeed molded by you in our very choices that we make. And we ask that you would be glorified in us this morning, Lord. We would give you permission to come into this place this morning and speak to our hearts, speak to our minds, Lord, and not just this morning, but tomorrow morning and Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning. And as we move through this week and as we move through our lives, that you would indeed guide and direct us and help us to choose the right way. And we give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I want to tell you this morning about Cheech Lang. Cheech Lang was a guy that my dad introduced me to. I don't know, I was 10 years old, 9 years old. We were hunting in, I think it was in Northern California someplace, hunting doves. And, or dove, maybe that is the plural. And here's this guy, Cheech Lang. And my dad introduces Cheech Lang to me like he is, I've never met the guy. And I've met a lot of my dad's friends. And so this is Cheech Lang, and it's just like he loves this dude, you know? And it's like, okay, Cheech Lang, man. And I would meet him, and my dad would always introduce him with such gusto. Cheech Lang, my buddy, right? And I did not find out until years later why. Because Cheech Lang was indeed the owner of an insurance company. And my dad had his workman's comp insurance with Cheech. And his insurance had lapsed through an oversight. And he had no insurance. Workman's comp handles any type of injury incident that happens at the workplace. And a guy died at work. And my dad is completely exposed. They would have owned our home, savings, everything. And Cheech stepped in and covered. He said, no, that's fine. I'm just going to go ahead and just have that workman's comp be in place. And my dad was so thankful. My buddy, Cheech Lang. My buddy. Talking about living lives of thanks. We finish up our series as we go through Romans. And the first word that we read today was, therefore. My dad loved Cheech because of what he had done. My son, we were talking about this on Wednesday, and therefore. And I said, what does therefore mean? And he said, when you come to a therefore in the Bible, you have to stop and ask, what is that therefore? And it is there. Because of all that God has done. God has indeed covered us. And because God has covered us, there should be a response. Title of today's message is A Proper Response. Because some of us have indeed been covered, but do not know how to respond. And do not know how to live a life of thanks. And there are varying levels of thanks. Sometimes George will buy me a Coke from the Coke machine. I won't have coins or it won't be taking dollars, or I just won't have any money at all. And George will say, okay, I'll buy you a Coke, and I'll say, thanks. And maybe I'll buy him a Coke, and we'll be even. Amen. You guys understand that? I was going to get a picture of Cracker Jacks and put it up there. So somebody gives you Cracker Jacks, thanks for the Cracker Jacks. But let's go ahead and elevate that a little bit. Some of you have seen my wife's car. It is a 2005 Nissan Quest, and her friend thought that it would be a blessing to us. And this was several years ago that she gave us that car. And somebody hands you a car, and you go, thank you. And so there are varying levels of thanks, and perhaps we escalate this illustration a little bit, and perhaps you have need of a kidney. And maybe your uncle that you have never met comes and says, I will give you my kidney. And you are in the hospital and you're thinking about this uncle and say, I'm gonna show him some thanks. I might take him out to dinner when I get out of the hospital. I might take him to Hawaii when I get out of the hospital. You know what I'm talking about? See, there's an escalation in the level of thanks depending on what you have received. Now, perhaps if we even complicate it a little bit more, this will be the end of this illustration. Perhaps your uncle that you have never met dies because of complications in the surgery as he has his kidney removed to give to you. And you think, how can I take him to Hawaii now? How can I show him thanks now? How can I have a proper response now? And we take this, and we come to our situation. Because indeed, Jesus died on the cross so that we might live. And because Jesus died on the cross, everything has been changed. And we ask ourselves, how do we say thanks? How do we live in response to the sacrifice of the cross? Paul tells us, opens up Romans 12 with a therefore. Take a look at therefore. Take a look at a proper response. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. And we should have, we do have, a new way to live. Jesus has indeed made all things new. That in response to God's mercy, there should be a change in our lives. Amen. We ask ourselves, what mercy is that? How big is God's mercy to us? Well, Paul has indeed told us back in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, that when we start out this process of transformation, that we start off as enemies of God. It is not as, you know, I had to bring correction to Steve this morning. Sean Yetta's little son was sitting back there, and Steve, in the midst of worship, keeps turning around and waving at that pretty young man that was sitting back there. And it is easy to see these beautiful little children that run around here, and just to look at that little boy back there in the back. Noisy, but beautiful. And you can just love them, but that is not how we came to the Lord. We came as enemies. We came covered with sin. We came ugly. And God cleansed us and washed us and loved us and adopted us into His family. Jesus paid the price for our adoption. God did thus for us, and because of that, there should be a proper response. There should be sacrifice. And you say, wow, really? I thought it was a free gift. Oh, yeah, it's free. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. You only get it from God. But the proper response, as Paul tells us, is sacrifice. And you think, man, that's a biggie. Oh, yeah. Not just a sacrifice, but an ongoing sacrifice.
Amen.
A living sacrifice. That is your spiritual act of worship. See that up there? Spiritual act of worship. Now, King James Version has reasonable instead of spiritual. And the word there, the Greek word there, is logikos, where we get our word logical. A living sacrifice, a life of sacrifice, is the logical response to the sacrifice of Christ on the cross to give you new life. Amen?
Amen.
Now we come to that word worship. And that word worship, I have it here. It is the Greek word latria. And aren't you just impressed? I do know Greek. I don't use it a ton. Latria, the word there is sacred service. Now, the NIV translate that as worship, but the word has a technical meaning. It has to do with the service that a priest would perform in the temple. So as you think of a monk, or you think of a priest at work in the temple, or maybe a Catholic priest who is going through all the various things that are done to conform to the worship service. See, we often think that it just has to do with singing or living this life that is just this exuberant display of our response to God. But it is not so much that as a reasonable service in a life that is focused on the Lord. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to blow apart Romans 12:1 for you today. And she said, well, what are you going to do? Because it doesn't have much to do. It doesn't have much. It's not totally focused on singing. There can be some singing that is in it. But it is much more real. Much more tangible. And Paul ties it together by saying that we should offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. And to me, that's about as tangible as you're going to get. Amen?
Amen?
And he says, that's your proper response. That is your response to the mercy of God.
Amen.
Let's continue on. Because Paul gives us a definition of logical. I mean, just in case you're going to be a little bit fuzzy on logical, a little bit fuzzy on reasonable, let's talk about that. Do not conform, say conform.
Conform.
Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. The pattern of this world. This is a pattern that we grow up in, we go to school in. It is imprinted upon us. It is as if there is a mask that we wear. That the world would imprint this on us, and that these are indeed passed out, and we can all receive one, and we can put on this mask, and we can act in a certain way as the world would have us to work. And what the Lord says, or what Paul tells us, is that we should be renewed in our lives. That we should have a different picture imprinted upon us. The Lord's picture. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8, it says, yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter. And that the Lord would mold us. We are the work of your hand. And so rather than being a picture of the world, that we should display the very thumbprint of God on our lives. I don't know if you can see that. Can you see that? That there is indeed a face underneath that thumbprint. And as the Lord molds us and makes us and shapes us, that the fingerprint of God should be all over us. That is a reasonable response to the gospel. As a result of this, you will be able to understand the will of God for your life. Begin to get the plan of God for your life. Be able to understand your position in the plan of God, because indeed there is a place for you. Amen? I don't know how much effort you put into your position this week. My daughter had a challenging week. Joe's laughing. She started off on Monday, got a call from my daughter who, if you don't know, is she, about 20? She's 19, right? Everybody knows. Hey, I had to do math. Okay. So anyway, she's 19. She's going to be 20 in January. And she says, "Oh, crisis has come upon me. I have been stung by a bee. And am I allergic?" It's like, no, you're not allergic. And you'll be fine. Come on, you're a college student. Second year, she is a sophomore. And you can handle this. You can overcome this. Amen? Are you tracking with me on this? We're just talking about a bee sting, right? Well, she calls back on Wednesday. "I'm going to urgent care. My leg is swollen up and hard and inflamed and hot and red, and all this bad stuff is going on from that bee sting." It's like, go immediately. She says, "I'm trying to call Mom. Maybe you better not tell Mom. She might be freaking out." And I'm, okay, I won't tell Mom. She calls later. "Did Dad tell you?" It's like, "No, I didn't tell you. You told me not to tell her. I didn't tell her." So then Lisa, after talking to her, says she never took the stinger out. I mean, you leave that stinger in there, and your legs are going to get all pumped up trying to shoot that baby out. It's got barbs. You know, hey, there's some things that you got to get rid of. Amen? Yeah. That's what we're going to next. 3 steps to a renewed mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and there's some stuff that you got to get out. Amen? All right, we're going to talk about getting that renewed mind, what you can put in, before we got to talk about what you're getting out. But we're talking about 3 things that you can put into your mind: get in the Word, get in prayer, and get some support. Amen? Amen. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. It will guide you through the dark places. And you should be getting into it daily. I don't know how often you got into your Word this week. But if you got into it daily, you probably have a pretty good week. Now, this will help you. This is a daily reading guide. It has a check for every day of the year. And today is, I believe, November 9th. Is that correct? Job 34, 1 Corinthians 4 through 6. Take you about 20 minutes. This will change your life. If you have not read the Bible through cover to cover, do this in a year. I know people whose lives have been transformed. I mean, you take a person who hasn't been saved very long, and there's many of you that are in here that have been saved less than a year. Now, somebody who was saved less than a year went through this in 1 year, did it again the next year. They were more mature than people who have been saved 15 years. A lot of the people in the church 15 years never read the Bible all the way through. I do their right reading for them. Today we only read one verse. This is a way that you can be renewed in your mind. Amen. I got about 20 of these bad boys up here, and you can pick one of these up after church. Get in the Word. Get in prayer. Part of this as well is, you read the verses, like I said. You read Job chapter 34, 1 Corinthians 4 through 6, and a lot of effort went into kind of pairing this up, but you read through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice going through this, and part of it is you can journal with it, and you can say, what did this mean? God, what do you have for me in this? And then that's a question that you answer, and then the other question is how do I live in response to your word and what this means today. How am I going to be transformed? And that will begin to renew your mind. Amen? So, get in the word, get in prayer, get some support. Roki talked about celebrate recovery. You can get some support there. You can also get some support just by sitting down and doing this daily reading guide with some people that you know, love, and care about. You can get some support if you sit down and read this and go through it with some people that you don't care about and don't love. Because pretty soon, you will begin lifting one another up in prayer and support. Amen? Now, if you are looking to do this with somebody, I will do it with you. You let me know, because I'm being around here a lot lately because of our meal program. And so I will happily sit down with you, one-on-one, one-on-three, whatever. We go through this. Amen? Amen? So you want to be renewed in your mind, get in the word, get in prayer, and get some support. All righty. God wants us to have impact. So, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, starting at verse 4 here. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body. Right here, we are the body of Christ. And each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. God has called you out of darkness into light. God has cleaned you from being a sinner and disgusting in his eyes to being wonderfully made and made new so that you can do something. Not one amen on that?
Amen.
Thank you for that. Everybody's got a job in the family of God. You can do dishes, you can rake leaves, you can wash cars, you can teach kids, you can do all kinds of things in the family of God. You're saying, but I don't know how God has wired me. Well, in these verses, Paul, the Apostle Paul, brings up seven ways that God has wired you. And this is not an exhausting list, but prophesying. There's an element of prophesying in what I'm doing right now, that foretelling of God's word. Prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, that's coming alongside people and saying, you can do this. And guiding and direction. See, you know what? Eva right there. She got that one. Giving. Pastor Paul was talking about, you know what goes along with giving? Earning. Right? Earning goes along with giving because God's going to give you the ability to earn and he's going to give you the ability to give. Amen? Amen? Leading, man, that is, hey, we are going this way, and mercy. My wife has got mercy. She moves in mercy and she wonders why I don't, because I'm doing the leading thing, man. And I say, lead, and she's going, no, I got the mercy thing. Which one do you have? I don't know, but there's one that's just jumping out at you right now. The one you like is the one you got. Now, there is many of them. There are many of them. In fact, here, oh my. I'm just going to guess. There's about 16 or 18 of this on a spiritual gift inventory. Become a member of this church, we have you take this so that you can know where your spiritual gift lies. I've got these daily reading journals, and I have many spiritual gift tests. You can grab one of these. You can take it. It's pretty easy, self-explanatory. And you can know how the Lord has wired you to serve in the family of God. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'm doing this. Why? Because the Lord has given me a job. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it says, it was he, talking about Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people. Now, you've been saved by the Lord? You asked the Lord to come in and transform you?
Yes.
That means you are one of God's people. And God has given me the responsibility of making sure that you do your job. Not one amen. Look at that. That's because I've been on some of you going, are you doing your job? No, get on my back, pastor. It says here, some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that you can make a lot of money. No, that's not what it says. See, you work so that we can benefit. And it's my job to make sure you get that opportunity. Aren't you just happy? Yes. Like, Pastor, I just wish you had the gift of mercy instead. It's like, well, you can talk to my wife. Maybe she'll let you off the hook, but not me. See, if you don't do your part, somebody else has to do it. Got a call on Friday. My wife hands the phone. Your daughter needs to talk to you. Dad, I got a flat tire. And she's in Irvine, Costa Mesa. I'm like, okay, how flat is flat? Well, it started getting flat on Tuesday. And now it's really flat. Can I just drive it to the gas station? It's only a block away. I said, no, you'll destroy your rim. Then we'll really have a problem. I said, what you need to do, she's at school. I go, you need to find some guys that you know, jack up your car, pull out your spare, and put the spare on. Do I even have a spare? Yes, it's in your trunk. Now, you need to check and make sure that it's filled up with air. If not, you have to go fill it up with air and put it on, get the other one fixed, and work it all out. And this is so often a picture of the church. Because on Tuesday, she could have just rolled over to that gas station, put some air in her tire, and she would have been fine. Maybe got a flat tire repair, something like that. We're talking $10, $15. But she didn't do anything. It just got worse and worse. That's so often what the church looks like. Nobody's doing anything, and things are just getting worse and worse. But the other aspect of what the church looks like is the guys who jacked up her tire, pulled out the spare tire, said, whoa, it's holding there, but it is bald. I don't know that I would drive anywhere on this thing. But then she took off her tire. And see, right now you're thinking, yes, that's my gift. I'm the one who's going to have their tires changed. That's my gift to the church, to be the recipient of other people's labor. No. See, you're supposed to be thinking, whose tire can I change? Who, and maybe ladies going, I don't know how to change a tire. Say, whose cake can I bake? Whose shirts can I iron? I don't know what you do, but God gave you if you hate ironing shirts, don't go into the shirt ironing ministry. It's okay. You know, if you hate baking, don't go into the baking ministry. It's okay. But there is a ministry that is just for you. That's right. Amen? Amen. 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 You know who's got the clapping ministry? Aaron Buggs. He's got the clapping ministry. And I don't know, Tommy, man, he's up here, man, he's got this thing rolling. I dig this. You know that? I love it. I love that. Trying to get him to learn how to use a pandeiro. It's Brazilian. I don't know how to do it, but I bet it's going to be good. See, all you guys are all blessed so that we can be blessed. Amen? Amen. All righty. The picture of the transformed life. And we are, what are we doing? We're doing okay. I just want to let you know that the transformation is big, folks. Amen. It's supposed to be big. I hope you got a big transformed life. People come around and say, what is wrong with you? What is up with you? Because if not, you probably don't have much of a transformation going on. Maybe you're just trying to put a little God on the edge. You know, it's kind of like guacamole, you know. I'll take a little guacamole on the side. Try and put God on the side. God wants to be the plate. Amen? Love must be sincere. Oh, I got love, Pastor. Good. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor. Here's a biggie. You can underline this in your Bible. I don't know how you do it in electronic Bibles, but you could try. It says, honor one another above yourselves. And you say, hold on. I thought just trying to dance was big enough. I'm going to be like Rocky. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. I could do that. Patient in affliction. Oh, no, I want to move out of that. Faithful in prayer. Share. Everybody say share. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. Yes, the transformation is big. Because what we are going to do is we are going to make a trade of evil for good. Hey, what is evil? Cling to what is good. It is like we are going to go on an evil diet. We're going to start cutting evil out of our lives. So you take a look at that. You say, okay, what choice am I going to make? Somebody said, oh. See, sometimes the choice is pretty easy, right? It's like, what am I going to do? Now that picture's kind of, you got the craps table and you got this young lady serving at a senior citizen's facility. What you going to choose? So you go on an evil diet, that means you got to make some changes, right? Now, which picture looks like you there? You're going to go on an evil diet. Going to have to make new choices. Amen. Letting that one just kind of percolate in. Probably you're making the right choices. You're here this morning. Amen. Other people being late. You know what I mean? Transformation is big. Elevate. It's a hard word, elevate there. Elevate the needs of those around you over yourself. What about me? The only way that you can do this, and it's uphill from here, folks, wait till we get to point B, is if you are absolutely certain God has got you covered. Because if you're running on your own strength, you're running on your own effort, you are always worried about what is in reserve. You're wondering, what about me? Not only does God want you to elevate people, their needs above your own, He wants you to be fired up about doing it. Do it with zeal. Share with God's people who are in need. God's people, these people right here, share with them. Be a giver, be a service, practice, servant, practice hospitality. God wants you to put a focus on His stuff. Why? It's a proper response. He says, I got you. He got you. You don't got to sweat it. Not one amen. And He's looking for even more. I told you it was uphill. Look at all those verses. Bless those who persecute you. Anybody got any persecution going on this week? Anybody just had somebody being mean to them? Angry at you, yelling at you, even a fool coming into your life. Don't be shaking your head at me, Monica. I've talked to Monica a lot. No, she's talking about George. Yeah, that's right. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Don't be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. But be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Sometimes you just can't live at peace with some people. They ain't going to let you do it. But as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Don't take revenge. You could underline that one, memorize that one, tattoo that one on your forehead. In reverse, you can just like read it. My wife's shaking her head no. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Enemy is hungry. feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. And do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And you know what? This is just a flat-out challenge. Can I get a witness on that? If you are in here just thinking, whoo, those are my memory verses for my life, I'm going to have you come up here and preach next week. Many of you are challenged just at being nice to the people in the church. And this is the hood, Pastor. Jesus got no clue. Jesus walked around with Romans who would kill you. And it would be totally legal. I'll tell you what, the stuff they used to do, I mean, the stuff they do, ISIS does now, that's the kind of stuff, I mean, Nero used to crucify Christians and light them on fire to light his gardens. I think Paul knew what, Paul was crucified by Nero, Peter was crucified by Nero. I think they knew what was going on. Amen? So you've got no free pass. God wants us to be nice to those people in the street. He says, find a way to connect with other people around their need. Rejoicing and mourning. Live in harmony. And don't take revenge. See, if you are certain that God has got you covered, if you know that God has got your back, if you know that he died on the cross for you, then you can take that person who has wronged you and said, you know what, Lord? I'm going to let you deal with him. I'm going to let you deal with her. And I'm going to move on and try to just put this behind. Now, that does not mean that you have to go interact with that person this afternoon and allow them to do you wrong again. Because the Lord wants you to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Amen? And so if you are being continually harmed, you might move to safety. Can I get a witness on that? Yes. But as you move to safety, you're going to let the past go, and you're going to turn that over to the Lord and say, Lord, you deal with it. And that is how you can live in harmony and not just be an angry, bitter person. Don't allow evil to overcome you. But overcome evil with good. God got your back. Amen. God set you free. God transformed your life. Therefore, there should be a transformation in you. At least you can come up, click. There should be a transformation in your life. You should be brand new in your choices that you make. You should be on an evil diet. You see that evil passing away, and you're grabbing onto the good things of God. Amen? Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. You got to get some good inside. Get some word in you. Get some prayer in you. Find out how God has gifted you and move into it, and you will find greater fullness in your life. Amen? Amen. Last call I got from Leanne. Yesterday I talked with her, told her this would probably make the sermon. She laughed. She said, okay. I said, how's your car? How's your body? Said, car's okay. Coming down next Wednesday, Joe's birthday. I said, I'll try and fix your seat. It's all twisted. Some man destroyed it. Like this. I won't name him. And she said, yeah, Dad, I'm doing okay. I went to this meeting on Thursday. And I was having chest pains. She's 19. She was sure she was going to die. Heart attack. I kid you not. Her arms was hurting. She was just... I said, you know, Leanne, you know, death is like a promotion. And she said, you know, that's what I was thinking. If I die, I'll just be dead. I'll be laying there because this mandatory meeting I was in, but I'll be in heaven. They'll be looking at my body going, man, I don't know if it should have been mandatory. But you know, in that, she's gone, I know I'm going to heaven. I know the Lord has got me. Therefore, I go to a meeting. I don't care. My heart going to give out. I'm fine. I just go see Jesus. Therefore. Can you do that? You know the Lord has got you. You know the Lord has got your back. You got the thumbprints of God upon you. Are you a living display? Because if you live your life as a display, you really don't have much to worry about. He's either got your provision or he's got a pathway to heaven. One of the two. Amen? Life we lead is an eternal life. Get new bodies, it'll never wear out. And he says, therefore, because I have all this for you, I want you to be a new creation. I want you to go on an evil diet. I want you to overcome evil with good. And I want there to be a change in your life. I have gifted you in a supernatural way, and I want you flowing in those gifts. I'm going to send Pastor Bob to your house. And he's going to remind you of the list that I've been telling you about. Because I got a list created before the foundations of the earth. A God list. That you're going to find the greatest fulfillment in your life as you move into that. Lord, I come to you this morning. Lord, thanking you that my daughter can go to a mandatory meeting. And not be worried if she's coming out. Lord, I thank you that, Lord, that you have gifted each one of us in a special way to have an impact on all of us. Lord, I thank you for guilt because some of us are not getting it done. And there is guilt that is coming right now. Lord, I thank you for those downstairs right now that are stepping ahead, even new teachers being trained this morning, Lord, as those would step up to the plate and say, Lord, here I am. You got your thumbprints all over me. I want to shine for you. Two ladies out talking to people about the Lord, praying for policemen in their cars the other night. Thank you for your call. Thank you for your boldness. Thank you for zeal. And I pray for each person here, Lord, that we could indeed put the past behind, put a focus on you, and live with a great big therefore. Therefore, Lord, because you've given me new life, I'm going to give you my new life. I'm going to devote it to you. Do that in Jesus' name. You're here this morning. You're here this morning and you are just feeling so good. You are aware of the plan that God has for you. You've been working it out. You're able to determine the will of God. You know the giftings that he has given you. You have excitement and zeal in your life. And you're going, oh, give me more, give me more, give me more. Just where you're at, I just want you to just in zeal, just put your hands up and say, oh, Lord, you're so good. You are so good. I thank you, Lord, for your call, your giftings, your mercy. Lord, that you have set me free, Lord. I am a living sacrifice for you. I am guided by your spirit. Daily, I'm in your word. You're a lamp unto my feet, Lord. Hallelujah. I give you praise, Lord. You are so mighty. I like the look of those hands. Glory, glory, glory. You can put your hand down. Maybe you are here this morning. See, sometimes I just start off a little heavy. But maybe that is not what you got. And this morning you are saying, I am tired of living in guilt. I want to be transformed. I want to be like that person. I felt his arm going up and I want to have my hands up, Lord. I want to put that evil behind me. I want to be a new creation in you. I want to be transformed. I want a new mind. I want a new spirit. I want a new life. I want gifts. I want power. I want the ability to just shine for you. I haven't been being busy, and I am ready to start. I'm opening my eyes when I'm looking at these hands. Coming to your house. Lord, I want to take that gift test. Lord, I want to be busy for you. Nobody's looking around, but the Lord is on you right now saying, you don't have to feel bad anymore. You can feel excited about new life in me. You can feel excited about putting away evil and grabbing good. You can feel good about serving in my kingdom. Nobody's looking around, but that's you this morning. Say, I'm tired of living like this. I want a new way to live. Slide that hand up. Say, come and ask me, Pastor Bob. Here, 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 here. His hands didn't stay up very long. There we go. All right, I'm seeing. Let's all stand. We're gonna sing. Worship team's gonna come up. That I am the.